Thanks, Molly, and I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation. It's a wonderful workshop. And this afternoon, I would like to talk about different models I've been working on for the evolution of gene expression in eukaryotes. And in fact, what I mean by eukaryotes is mostly diploids, because I'm interested in the specific effects of diploidy in eukaryotes. So first, I'd like to acknowledge some colleagues that have been contributing to that work. Frédéric Fion, who is a PhD student working in different parts of that project. Denis Rose, who is a colleague, been doing a lot of theory together. Erickson was a student when I was last year at Harvard to work on this project. And Gabriel Marais has been very helpful to discuss different things. See later. He's working mostly on sex chromosome, but you'll see that will be the topic of the day. So overall, I've been working on different kinds of model where the specific feature of those model is to take seriously, quote, the issue of cis and trans effect in diploids in eukaryotes. So as you may know, if you consider that you've got a gene in a, which is expressed in a diploid, then typically you will have a cis regulatory sequence and a transcription factor, and the transcription factor will bind or interact in cis and to control the expression levels of the gene. And so most population changing models do not, apart from few cases, incorporate this little specificity of cis and trans effects. And so the idea is to incorporate those effects and to see how they transform and change the view we have on a standard model of population genetics. And in fact, there are a lot of questions that you can revisit with that kind of model. And so some have been published. So for instance, this one and this one, and much of this is still ongoing work. And it mainly talks about the specific features of regulation in eukaryotes. And but so in the interest of time this afternoon, I was considering to make kind of a survey of the different models I've been playing with, but in fact, I will mostly concentrate on one of them, which is the evolution of sex chromosome degeneration, because it's well advanced now, and it's really illustrating the point I want to make. And so new results as well. So as you probably know, sex chromosomes are, in many cases, degenerate. Here I represent a species where you got X and Y, but the case applies for ZW species. And the X is typically recombining in females and is fully functional, while there is no recombination in males on the between X and Y, and the Y is usually considerably degenerate. And so there is kind of a standard theory that is well known for explaining why you got this degeneration, and the standard theory involves six steps. So the first idea is, of course, that you first have arrest of recombination between the X and Y, and most models consider sex antagonistic selection for this, although there are other ideas around. And then the absence of recombination on the Y causes selection interference, Ross-Ratchet or Hill-Robertson effects that will cause selective interference on the Y. This selection interference will cause the accumulation of deleterious on the Y, and this accumulation will lead to gene loss. Some people have proposed that you may have a selective silencing of those, gene copies that have received accumulated a lot of deleterious mutation. And then you got the globally a lack of functional gene copy on the Y, and which caused a problem of dosage imbalance in males. And so you got the evolution, the secondary evolution of dosage compensation mechanisms, and you got various types of dosage compensation mechanisms to restore dosage between sex chromosome and autosomes. So that's the usual story, and it has been around for decades right now, and which is also something that I received a lot of indirect confirmation of different sorts. And there are specific features in that theory is that because it works, it's caused by selective interference, it works really better with smaller population sizes. And I would just like to point out that silencing here occurs second in most models that have been produced, and that dosage compensation occurs third in that kind of causal framework. So to work on this, I introduced this, again, this way of modeling things, where you got a gene, which is under control by the cis regulator and the trans regulator. And you assume that this gene sits on a sex chromosome, that you are considering what's going on in this new sex chromosome just after it became a sex chromosome, right? So it's not yet degenerate. And then here you consider that the transcription factor, the gene for the transcription factor is unlinked and is on another chromosome, on an autosome. Of course, you can upgrade this model for having multiple genes controlled by different transcription factors. So to reflect the fact that perhaps you've got a whole chunk of a stratum on the NEO-Y, which where recombination is stopped. So I will show you results with various number of such modules. So you got two recombination rates that are very important here. The recombination rate between the cis regulator and the gene, and this is something which is typically very small, because usually the cis regulator are very next to the gene. And you got the distance between the two genes, the RG here. And of course, because we are in a model where you got female and males, this rate of recombination are zero in males, okay? Because there is no recombination in male. They are just in female. Now you consider that you got deleterious mutation on the gene, so they occur at some rate, and that you got the typical situation where you got various deleterious mutations that you can sample in a distribution. And here the idea is that you can accumulate them up to a point, which is S max, which is the maximum effect of unfitness when this gene is completely degenerate. Okay, which is not necessarily lethal. So if you got multiple hits, you may end up with an effect S max, but it won't be larger than this. And then you've got mutation on the cis regulator, and to model this, you consider there is a kind of a quantitative trait, which is C here, that measures the strength of that cis regulator. And that will mutate like with a norm. When you introduce your mutation, it will have an unbiased effect drawn in a normal distribution. And you want this particular strength to stay positive. So in different version of the model here, you ignore values that are negative. You set them to zero if they are. And so now because you are in the diploid, you got to consider the fact that when you got the same allele as the cis regulator, you will express 50% defective protein if you are an heterozygous individual with a deleterious allele A, green here. But if you got a stronger cis regulator, like for instance C1 here is stronger than C2, then the amount of defective protein, the green one, will be higher than 50%. And the reverse, if the stronger regulator is C2, then the wild type, you've got less than 50% defective protein. Because that's just the definition of the model, that the strengths of the cis regulator just provide higher or lower expression levels. And so if this little A is a deleterious mutation on the gene, then if you got more defective protein, you expect that the fitness effect of the individual, an individual like this, will be lower than if it was a 50% defective protein. And the reverse, if you got fewer of those defective protein, your fitness will be higher. So in terms of dominance, it's as if here you got a slightly higher dominance for the deleterious mutation, here a slightly lower dominance of the deleterious mutation. And to link up the different possibilities here, you make it continuous between, so that would be the percent of defective proteins. And here would be the fitness with the three values, 1, 1 minus HS in a standard heterozygote, and 1 minus S for the homozygote here. And depending on where you are on the fraction of defective protein, you will have a different value for fitness. Now you got mutation on the regulator and on the transregulator. And again, here you consider the same, that there is a quantitative trait T that mutates with a normal deviate, and you keep it positive as well. Here, the difficulty is that this transfer regulator is here to model dosage compensation. So there are very various possibilities for different options, if you like, according to the different ways you can observe dosage compensation in nature. So for instance, there is this, to make a caricature, you got the C. elegans model, the Drosophila model, or the mammal model, where you got the transcription factor only expressed in females for this one. Here, it will only target the X in male, and here it will only target one random X in females. All right? So I will only concentrate in the first one to give you, because that's basic. I don't have time to detail more. So to have an idea of how you can compute dosage, so you got two versions of these two alleles, that's the transcription factor. So in female, to have the overall amount of protein produced would be C1 plus C2 times T bar with the mean of those T values, but it's only in female because the transacting factor is only acting in females. All right, the last bit is that you've got selection on dosage, of course, because if for each gene you assume that there is an optimal quantity of protein to be produced, and that you got an optimal value here, which is set to 1, so on overall it will be 2 for the two copies at the individual level, and that you got a different strength of intensity of stabilizing selection around that optimum, and that a very specific feature here is that you want that when you got zero expression, means that the gene is completely silenced, you don't want the fitness effect to be stronger than the maximal fitness effect you'd like you could have on the gene itself. All right, so now we'll turn to the results. And so here is a simulation that has been averaged over many, many replicates. So what you see is it's a quite large population. So you've got some mutation rate for the different loci and, different parameters. And what you look at here is, that's across 1 million generation. And so that's a probability for what I call half silent, half dead, and dead mean. So half silent means that the gene on the Y is halfway through silencing, and silent is that it's completely silenced. Half dead means that it has accumulated deleterious mutation to the point where it reached S max over 2, and dead is when it's at S max. And so what you see is that you do see a degeneration of the Y, and that first you've got this evolution of it's first silenced, then it's fully silenced, and then of course when it's silenced it accumulates a lot of deleterious mutation, and so it goes kind of the other way around compared to the traditional view of the process, and it's only occurring for just a single locus, so there is very limited selective interference at play here. And you got two very important controls for that kind of simulation. The first one is that when you set the mutation rate of the cis regulator to 0, then of course nothing happens. And more interestingly, if you set artificially the recombination rate between the cis regulator and the gene to 0.5, meaning that they are unlinked in female, then nothing happens. So the conclusions from that kind of result are that compared to standard theory, you can have Y degeneration with a single gene, so without a lot of selective interference, that silencing occurs first, not second, and that dosage compensation occurs simultaneously. And it requires the evolution of regulatory sequences, and it requires tight linkage between the cis regulator and the gene in female. Now you would ask, what is the dependence of that process on population size? Because it has been a very important issue for that kind of theory based on selective interference. And here what you can see is that when you increase population size, there is an effect of population size, so it slows down in larger population. Also, when you change two order of magnitude in terms of population size, you don't have a two order of magnitude increase in degeneration time. Now you may ask, what's going on when you got many loci? All those results were for one locus. So if you got one gene, so that's the fraction of the probability of being dead for a given gene, so completely degenerate. So that's for one gene, the result I showed you previously. So if you got 10 of them in a stratum, so it goes faster. If you got 100, it goes even faster. And when you got 1,000 genes, it goes even faster. So this process works in combination with selective interference, means that if you add the selective interference into the picture, then of course things will go even faster. Also important to note here that in absence of a regulatory evolution in those simulations, nothing would occur here under those parameters, even with many 1,000 genes like this. Okay, so. Now there is another effect that you could look at is the effect of the intensity of stabilizing selection on dosage. And so it turns out that this rate of degeneration is maximal at intermediate level of stabilizing selection. So when stabilizing selection on dosage is weaker or stronger, then the rate is lower. So different ways to interpret this. I don't have time to discuss that much. So what's the mechanisms behind this? First, a good starting point to understand what's going on is that you can look at what's the dominance from the point of view of a Y chromosome. So what would be the dominance of a deleterious mutation on the Y? Okay. So the initial value would be 1/4 because that was the initial value set in the simulation. And so that's what you observe. So that deleterious mutation on the Y becomes recessive over time, and that's the reason they will accumulate. And when you look at what's going on more specifically on the traits that are in the model, so you got the cis regulator on the X that goes to, so it starts at 1, it goes to 2. So that you got an optimal dosage in male because it has a single X. So now the optimal dosage is 2 in male, but it's all right because the optimal dosage is 2. The cis regulator on the Y goes to 0 because it's become silenced. And the trans-acting effect in female is the actual dosage compensation. It goes to 1/2, as in C. elegans, where you got a reduction of expression to half to compensate, to restore the correct dosage because the regulator on the X has gone stronger. So the mechanism here is that cis regulator runaway on the X is compensated by trans regulator in female and by Y cis silencing in males. And so what I mean by cis regulator runaway is the fact that when you got the stronger cis regulator, and that's true also on autosome, something we've been showing in other models, when you got diploid selection, a stronger cis regulator is always favored because it will, on average, sits on a chromosome which is better purged from deleterious mutation because the gene that it controls will be more exposed to selection. So on autosome, this process leads to the escalation of the cis regulator strengths, provided that it can be compensated by trans effects. And here on the sex chromosome, it just leads to Y degeneration. And it's, of course, a self-reinforcing loop, because when you got a partially silenced gene accumulate that has start to accumulate, it's partially silenced, then it will be even easier, you know, to fix the deleterious mutation later on, because it's partially hidden from selection. All right, so the conclusion is that this new way of modeling expression evolution. So you take into account the cis regulatory impact on dominance, and in diploid it does matter, as I hope I've convinced you. You got many applications of that idea, and so this sex chromosome is just one of them. I got other projects work on the or you could explain the extravagant regulation of eukaryotes as a consequence of this process as well. It's not super clear what the level of selection here is exactly, because those cis regulators are really favored positively, if you like, although it's not necessarily favorable at the individual level. And so for the wide degeneration, so it's different from standard theory. It adds, if you like, a possibility on the different option we have on for the theory of sex chromosome. So this theory is provide fast degeneration and divergence among X and Y. It's based on cis regulator runaway on the X. And in this theory, silencing occurs first, not second. And it also requires the arrest of recombination between X and Y, otherwise it doesn't work. And it works for perhaps larger population sizes than the current theory does. Okay, that's it.